So this song is reflective of when you look back over your life and you say, Lord, you're holy, I haven't lived right, but I'm going to try my best to get myself together, to obey what you would have me to obey. Amen? Okay? Because I move around.
Hallelujah. Come on, people. He found you where you were, despite what you was doing, despite how many times you turned your back on him, and he never let you down. He might let you got to a place where you could look up to the hills from which cometh your help, because you wouldn't listen. You know it. You know I'm right about it. You know, you know somebody said, come on, and that's not right, baby. That's not how you do. You've been to church, come on. And the Lord still never kept sending somebody after you, didn't he?
Yeah.
He kept sending somebody after you. What a blessing.
Amen.
What an absolute blessing.
Amen.
Let's look to the Lord. Father God, we come in the name of Jesus, Lord. Now it's time to teach. Okay. So God, I pray that you illuminate the minds of before me, the family, that your family, for wherever they go. So teach my heart to say right now, Lord, all that needs to be said. So that the family be fed. So that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight and in the sight of the family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
This is, I want y'all to know, my body. It is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my back. Hold it up. Lead it. Live it. This is the word of God. God loves us so much that he wanted us to know that this is my Bible. This is my Bible. It is a lamp unto my feet.
Lamp unto my feet.
A light unto my feet. So the next time you start asking somebody before you ask the Lord, maybe these words will come back to you. This is my Bible. I say that because I got a text this week. Somebody didn't know that they needed to call on the Lord. Kind of hurt me because, hey, my family. Hey, my family. My family. And I'm mad about it because the devil's a liar. I ain't not even mad at them. I'm just mad about it. I do know I'll be preaching. I don't know what turns or twists might come into your life. But whenever you find yourself, you tell the devil, this is my Bible. It's a lamp. It's a light. You might remember where it is then. When you put it where you left it, it might be under your arm. I don't know. Don't ever let him take your Bible. You know, this passage that we've been looking at, started looking at last week, we found out that Noah had some things that we need to have, you know, because when you start talking about how it got in,
And when the Lord started talking about the desperate heart, the deceitful heart, the wicked heart, the heart that doesn't know him, the heart that won't serve him, the heart that won't acknowledge him, the heart that won't do what he said, you find out that the Lord said, this is the invitation. What I'm saying about this. I'm not saying that anybody in here has a heart like this, because you might have a heart like this. Think I'm sitting here beating anybody up. We talking about two hearts. The Lord got grieved with one of these wicked hearts. It grieved him so much that because all of his creation, all of his handiwork, he says over here in verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6, he says that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And so we must not get the big head and think that we can't fall into this trap. And then we must not think that we should not at least give ourselves the occasional checkup. Mm-hmm. You go to the doctor, you're physical, don't you? Check your blood pressure, don't you? Cholesterol, sugar. Why? Because you want to make sure that everything is what? Some people say, I ain't like that. I don't do that. Take the checkup. You know, maybe a quick story. I don't know if I get that from Tim, but maybe a quick story. The seminary student went and got him an apartment. He was in school and he went and got him an apartment. And he found out he couldn't find anything, and all of a sudden he found one, and it was so cheap he couldn't believe it was even real. Everything else in the whole city was just all expensive, and this building was really kind of filled up, and this one was there, and the building was, how much you say it cost? He says, oh, I'll take it. That night when he went to sleep, he found out why it was so cheap. All of a sudden, the midnight train to Georgia, lights on, going as fast as it's going to go, whistle blowing, 3 o'clock in the morning, it nearly scared him to death. He jumps out of bed and says, Lord, I don't think I can live here. This is terrible. So he manages to get back to sleep. The next night, happens again. By the next week, he was only waking up for a quick couple of seconds when the midnight train to Georgia went through. Back to sleep. Within a couple of months, it wasn't even waking him up. Within a few more months, within a few more months, he couldn't go to sleep without the midnight train. The Georgia. You see, his heart had become hard to the sounds that used to repulse him. He had literally turned what repulsed him into something that would now put him to death. So today, if you would not harden your they did in the day of provocation back then. Mm-hmm.
They would do that.
Mm-hmm. I believe this message may be for us too.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We find that we have to look at this thing. Sister Terrence, I already know you know the passage, Ezekiel 26, 36, 26. Can you read that one? Do you know it by
heart? I don't know all the words.
Come on. Give us what you got. Because we have to find out what the Lord is talking about, this wicked heart that would cause him to want to wipe out his whole entire creation. And how we don't ever want to walk in that way. But we have to understand what the Lord is saying. You got it?
36:23.
Yes, ma'am.
And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh.
That's more than we can have to write. I will take you from among the heathen. Of course, well, you were heathen too. Don't get it wrong. Don't get no better than nobody else.
Amen.
Feel. You should have empathy every time you see one that's still in the way. Because he took you out. I know I put my head down too.
Wow.
I know it caused me to have sorrow in my heart because sometimes I catch myself. I want to be mad with folk. I want to be angry with them. Don't they stop doing? Don't they know that they sin? They know that. What's wrong with them? Well, guess what? He said they took them out yet. But don't get it twisted, brothers and sisters. He took you out from among the
heathen.
Give the Lord a hand, God. You revealed to me something going on in there. He gathered you.
Yes.
I found out in my ancestry tree how something stands to be. He gathered you from all countries. He sprinkled his Holy Ghost upon you and made you new. Tapped that filth off you, didn't he? Come on, sexy. Go, girl. Go, talk. He got that filth off you. I'm talking about me. You old nasty thing. Not you. No, I ain't got nobody left. Now. I can't talk about you. Only got a few. Why did they win that one? You ain't never had a That's all right because when I see Jesus,
yes.
When I see Jesus, all I want to do is that I did what he asked me to do.
Amen.
And he removed me from rubbing my car all day on Sunday and going down to Charles County and to the liquor store. And all I could do was ride around on my boat. And then after I do that, I go find my car and shine it up some more. And then after that, I go back to the liquor bottle. And then after that, I say, where's time for football game? Come on. It's only 1 o'clock by then. And it's just 1 o'clock. And then I'm trying to knock somebody down. I'm trying to get back in. I'll turn on TV so I can watch the guy. Hell to the. Come on, Lord Jesus, help me. He cleansed me. I'm just talking about it. I don't know what y'all used to do. And then he got down to verse 26 and then he started saying, well, I'm putting a new heart in you because the old one is filthy. It's wicked. It's dark. And he noticed that I was nothing I didn't deserve it. He pulled me out. And noticed there was nothing I could do to fix it. He gave me a clean and a new
spirit.
Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. Because y'all know it's about 12:25. I'm heading up to the gate right now. Wow. My wife don't even know this dude.
Amen.
But I give you a I know none of y'all have been in this dude's spot. But he said, I will put a new spirit and I will put it where? Within you. If within you, God has given you a new heart. God has given you a clean heart. God has given you a way now that you can lift up your head and say, just like, Lord, I'm going to tell them, Lord. I'm going to build that off, Lord.
Yes.
I don't care how long it takes to rain. I'm going to build it. I'm going to build it. I'm going to keep building it. I don't even know what rain is, but we're going to build it. Oh, yeah, y'all come back. You know you do. Oh, I'm sorry. That's about it. Don't lose them. You only got a few left. Can you imagine?
No.
Joshua go over there, take all the boys, just keep marching around and say, can I take my gun? Can I have four of them? No, just march. March. Oh, blow the trumpet, blow it out, and then come home and we'll do it again tomorrow. Lord, we come here to kick Fanny. No, just go over there and march. I want to put my hand around their throat. $10. They owe me $10. The Lord said, if I'm going to forgive them from your heart. From your heart. You shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. We found out that the Lord started talking about heart condition early. And we find out that in this first place where we see the heart, we find out that it's desperately wicked. And the book of Jeremiah says that it's desperately deceitful. It'll fool you. God was grieved with the entire world. Noah found grace in his eyes, but didn't he? Noah found grace in his eyes, and there'll be many people that you will find because you have found grace in your eyes, God's eyes. They will tell you just like they would look at him. What do you mean he's going to tear up the whole world? That's not fair. He's going to destroy everything. That's not right. What kind of just God is that? Get this. God of God that made it, and now he can't destroy it. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and all that dwell there in. But they don't believe. It would be nothing more than just going there and stepping on your Tonka toy. Flatten the tires right on out. It's his. But this account that we saw in Genesis, this account that we see in Ezekiel, just vindicates God beyond any argument that you could ever face, because it shows. It shows. He searched out the whole world. He looked specifically at everything and everybody, and he could just find. Didn't tell Noah to go get 150, fill up the boat. Didn't I'm just going to take Nineveh. I'm just going to take Jerusalem. Oh, he examined the hearts of men and women, and he could just find. Tell me my God didn't do the work.
Wow.
Wasn't fair. Kind of unjust that he just wiped out everybody. But everybody was his to begin with. It said that he was grieved with all these people. And he saw Noah's true heart and got favor from the Lord. But you understand with this now, this clean heart that Noah had. Understand with this new heart that Noah had. Understand with this mercy and this grace and this blessing that Noah had came much obligation. Mm-hmm. Noah had to build his ark. What about you? Are you building in your ark? Rain! The storm was coming. I don't know when. But my God is just and faithful.
Yes.
He said it, so on him you can depend. If he said it, he shall do it. He's not a man that he should lie. It's going to rain. Are you building?
Yes. Yes.
With your new heart? The one that he put in you?
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
The quickest transplant in Raheem. You need no ventilator. No oscillator. No EKG. No specialist, but Dr. Jesus.
Yes.
Now beat. Tell your heart to beat.
Yes.
You building it?
Yes.
Much obligation came upon Noah. Yeah. Oh, good God. Go back there, sis. Did you see this thing? They had these evil people, these giants. Y'all saw about these giants? Y'all saw them? They would make people scared. They were that big. They were 8-9 feet tall. Men of renown. Some say they were even fallen angels. I'm not going to go so much as to say that, except that they were fallen. They were wicked. I do know what does say.
Yeah.
It says they were wicked. It says that they were giants. And here's little old Noah.
when he's already well past his prime. He couldn't take it more.
Lord, you know, I can't build this up. You know, do you know how old I am? Do you know my back hurt? Do you know my this? I got that. Where's my? I can't even see my father. My father. Where I need my pills? And these giants all around, you know, it'd be like, they too big for me. I can't handle this problem. But the Lord added to Moses, added to Noah's statue. He must have added to his account with that grace and with that mercy that the giants in his life, they soon knew the truth. But Noah kept on building. Some of you right now, they got some giants. You know they there. And if you don't have them, you know somebody that's facing giants in their life. You need to tell them about the giant killer. You need to tell them about somebody who can put a giant to shame. Yeah, they might be huffing and puffing and trying to blow your out here 10 a day. But what's that big bad wolf? Doesn't matter how it comes to you. I know about a God. I know about the one. I know about the one that will give you such grace and mercy. He'll make you larger than your issues. He's bigger than your problems. He's bigger than your situation. He's bigger. Can't even tell him you can't build the ark. He already knows you can build it. Somebody help me. He already knows that you can handle it. He already knows that he can get you over. He already knows that you're well able to take that mountain. And there you are. With your clean heart. With your new spirit. With your heart at the knee. I just made that up. I feel like I think Tim wants to just help you understand something. Oh, this heart talk. What is the Bible talk? Because you can see, it's kind of confusing right from the start, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Go back to verse 5, just set this up. It's kind of strange that my heart has imagination. It says that every imagination and thought of his heart was only evil continually. I'm trying to help y'all. The Bible reveals a thing about what you need to be understanding and thinking about when it comes to the heart. According to what the Bible says, the Bible reveals that your heart is able to love God. The Bible reveals that you have this place that the Lord keeps talking about. And we need to understand what it is. Because without understanding what it is, you already know because of the forgiveness series. You already know that you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you understand what he was talking about. Much work needs to be understood. Live your whole life, you don't understand what he's talking. So Lord, help me help my people.
Yes.
I want to put their feet on solid ground.
Yes, yes, yes.
Give me today. Noah did not find favor in the eyes of men. He found favor in the eyes of the Lord. It was the Lord that put his feet straight. So what is your heart according to the Bible? The Bible reveals that
that your heart is your inner being that enables you to love God and love what God loves. Love is the basis for all the relationships that you have with the Lord and with everybody else. We find out that you ought to love your enemies as well as your... Everybody loves their brothers and sisters, but the God says love, or the Bible says love, and love your... No, what are you talking about when you say?
Wow.
You know, they hated Noah. I'm sure they did. He kept telling them about this place that was going to be destroyed. He kept telling them about themselves. Amen. And not for just a few days either. The Lord said, well, this is going to take us a while. There's going to be plenty of them they're going to make. I believe there's plenty of them who could have had a chance to be on the throne. Yeah. By lack of faith. They hated the man. I'm sure they did. He was just hammering and preaching. It's going
right.
It's all going to die. Tell me the best verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to move fast on this. It's our communion song. I want to get this part 2 because if the Lord tells you there's a part 3, then there is a part 3. But right now, I'll try to get you part 2. This thing called the heart. You see, your heart is something that has to be understood. Well, can you imagine walking around your whole Christian life and nobody ever revealing for you what the world that the Master is talking about? It's easy to say my heart. Oh, my heart. But you, is that what you're really talking about? Look at verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You with me?
Yes.
You with me? Say amen.
Amen.
And it says here, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I know you missed it, so I'm going to do it soon. Because we usually just give you key words, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a key expression. It's different, okay? Wow. And I pray, God, your whole what?
Spirit
and
soul
and
body.
So the Bible speaks of you in three ways.
Yes.
Do it again. Your whole
spirit
and
soul
and
body.
The Bible speaks of it in three ways. Reveals that you were created in three main what?
Parts.
Soul, body, and spirit. Okay. Well, so what's it got to do with the heart, Pastor? Okay, physically, your heart, physically, when you go to the doctor, they say, let me examine your heart. Mm-hmm. And they go and get their stethoscope in.
No hobby.
They have a specific location where they go and find the composition of the heart. Power, spiritually speaking, is not a separate organ from your, come on, you guys,
body.
From your what? Your spirit, your
body.
Come on, y'all got it right there. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Come on. We're going to find out what God thinks about it. What is it? Your what? You're going to find out that you're made of three different places, and I'm going to show you in a minute. You're not with all of you. You don't have all the information yet. But he says, Paul said, I pray holy for your spirit and your
body.
You with me so far?
Yeah.
speaking and that your heart is just in your chest is like it's an easy way to get out of this text, amen?
Amen.
That we're talking about in Genesis. An easy way to try to go home and feel good about yourself. An easy way to go home and try to think everything is A-okay. But you have to understand that the Lord of the universe has given you a separating of self, and it's your whole body, and it's your whole soul, and it's your whole spirit. The composition of your heart then consists of several places: your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, and your conscience. So I got 5 minutes. So let's quickly try to examine.
Amen.
Tell me in my third in Matthew 9:4. That old fashioned. One of these days we might be around here at 4:30, because I can not go that long. The world is hungry for this truth. I don't know if I present it very well. I do the best I can, dude.
Amen.
I want y'all to know that I do the best I can. Ask the Lord to help you. So that it'll help you. But you see here in Matthew 9:4, thinking can be in your what?
Heart.
So, are they talking about this location or that location? What exactly is the Lord talking about? And Jesus, in verse 4, and Jesus knowing their what?
Thoughts.
Hold on to that. Said, wherefore think you evil in your
heart?
Ooh. Your heart just got itself a new home. This is the easy one. The Lord told the religious scribes who were reasoning against him, why are you thinking evil of me in your heart? It is revealed that the function of your mind is a part of your
heart.
Come on, somebody. Give God a hand clap of praise. You can see it there. You can see it there. Did I show it to you? Did I make it up? The master said, what's wrong with your heart? And you see, he said, it's in your voice, your mind, your body, and your emotions. John 16:22. Y'all writing this down?
Mm-hmm.
So what do we have so far? We had your mind. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going over to John 16:22. Mm-hmm. We have said
amen.
And the word of God says, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man take it from you. Lord have mercy. There go another place the heart is. You see that before Jesus went to the cross, he told his disciples, I will see you again, and you will rejoice in your where?
Heart.
Your heart. And nobody will be able to take it from you. Beloved, rejoicing is an expression of your emotion. When's the last time somebody said, they didn't know what they were spiritually saying, but now you're going to know. The next time you say to yourself, get control of yourself. That's why people can't get control of themselves. They don't understand what it is because it's mind, my body, and soul. That's why they keep on going right back out there doing the same thing, because the heart is desperately what?
Wicked.
And deceitful. It's got so many ways to ride in on you, and you don't even know.
So you gotta understand your emotions is one of the ways that your heart can become wicked. You understand that the master went to the cross. Come on, somebody. The master went to the cross. And he was preparing his disciples. And he told them, if you were going to rejoice one day about it. He says, I will see you again. Make me wanna shout. I don't know, sometimes it makes me wanna cry. Sometimes it just makes me wanna jump up and down and rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. I don't know about your emotions, but I get on fire for the Lord. He promised me I will see
again.
In your
heart.
We gotta find a location for that one. For me, for me, I like to jump up and down. For me, I like to stomp my feet. For me, I like to tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord. In all. Intentions of your heart. The Hebrews 4:12 helps us with it. It says this, my brothers and sisters. It says it this way. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing and the sunder of the soul.
And what?
Spirit.
And of the joints.
And
is a discerner of what?
The thought.
And the intent.
Of the heart.
Your intent is a part of your will. Is your heart willing? A willing heart. Will you belly heart? Will you belly heart in your life even when you don't know what rain is? Will you build the ark like Abraham did when he said, get up from your family and I'm going to this thing. Where am I going? No, don't worry, just start walking. I will show you. Everybody want to know what the Lord is doing. Everybody wants to know where the Lord is telling them to go. Everybody wants to know before he reveals himself. Told Abraham, get up and walk. I'll tell you along the way. Where are you going? By the way, you're going to that crazy place called Egypt. No, he's like, what? Egypt? They don't kill me. You are a 90-year-old way. And she's fine. And they're going to kill me and take my wife. Sound like no rain.
Rain?
Abraham went. Then he got a little wobbly down there in Egypt, right? But he went, right? Well, how's your... Sometimes you get wobbly. God knows. He knows you. He made you. He knows the stature. He knows the... You know, but when you look up to the hills, when it's coming.
Yes.
So I let that one go. Y'all got it?
Yes.
Your will. Yes. Will you build your ark?
Mm-hmm.
10:22. Hebrews, real close, and then I ended up, I promise you. Your conscience is your last one. So what do you have? You have your mind, your emotion, your will, and then you have what? I showed you in all these places where it's a part of your what? The intent of your what? The Bible looks at the heart in a different perspective. Maybe we should understand it. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe we now can start to see why sometimes we have trouble controlling our emotions ourselves.
Yes.
Why? Oh, yeah, that's why they want to give you pills. Point two, let us draw near with the true what?
Heart.
And the full assurance of having my what?
Heart.
Sprinkled from an evil
conscience.
I'm going to stop right there.
Wow.
So now your heart has a place where in your what? Your conscience is a part of this carnalness that we live in. But unless you let it go dark, the Lord is in that temple. And he's telling you, you shouldn't do that. How many times you did it and you knew you shouldn't have?
All the time.
But you let your evil conscience.
The Lord is helping you today. And he's also helping those that you know today.
Yeah.
Now you can start to control yourself in a whole different way. Some people can't understand why they got their hand in this part of the digestive leaking, and all of a sudden it keeps on flooding because you don't know how many desperate ways the heart can come at you. The Bible says it is above all.
Yes, Lord.
Can you understand? Now this comes in all kinds of views and colors and varieties and stunts and tricks of the devil. And the lust for all that is in the world is what? Come on, somebody. The pride of life. The lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes.
Yes.
And I guarantee he's after your
heart.
You got it. Yeah.
Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? The devil gonna flee from y'all. Y'all keep it up coming on. Keep on coming here. The devil gonna flee. I gotta try another way. That was saying.